I sprung that on her 2 minutes before the service started. I'm so thankful to feel that air coming out. Man, it was getting a little warm up in here, and not just Holy Spirit warm. It was just getting warm in here. Rika did a fantastic job kicking off our new series last week, as she always does. Amen. And she did a great job just raising our awareness to the fact that words are powerful. Amen. And this week, I've been realizing more and more that my words reflect what is already in my heart. You know, what is already in our hearts is what's going to come out. And that stings a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about it. And this week is about communication. We could do an entire series on communication. Amen. I mean, the key to any relationship is healthy communication. We've heard that over and over and over. Amen? But expecting people to read your mind will get you nowhere, right? You know me. I've been married to you for 29 years. You should know what I'm thinking. Well, no, I don't. All right? Hence the reason we're having this argument right now after 29 years of marriage. You know? Just like these two old ladies. Okay, let me back up. Two seasoned ladies. There was two seasoned ladies who shared a home together. They were sitting on their front porch one warm summer evening. One was listening to the sound of the crickets chirping. The other one was listening to a choir singing in a church just down the road. And the woman listening to the choir said to the other woman, "My, isn't that just heavenly music?" "Yes," replied the first, "and I understand they do it by rubbing their legs together." You see, these women had a problem of communication, right? They were not feeding along the same lines. They were not connecting with one another. And the words they used were not understandable, right? They didn't make a connection. So, but the meaning behind those words was not only misunderstood. Man, if they had to let it go, they would have, all kinds of issues would have continued to occur. And I would have been able to continue with that illustration, telling you two and three more segments of that communication piece, right? All right, and so here's the thing. Relationships die because of lack of or insufficient communication. Would you agree with that? Relationships die because of lack of or insufficient communication. So what in the world is communication? A lot of people, that's easy. It's just people talking. Just people, you know, making sure that they're consistent in talking with each other, talking things through. How many of you have tried to talk things through and it just makes it worse than before you started? Because communication is sharing of meaning. All right, what I want you to see is that a husband and a wife have not communicated until the meaning has been shared. And they can look at each other eye to eye. I understand the meaning of what you're saying. And I'm receiving the meaning, and vice versa. All right. One sends a certain message and the other understands the message. That's communication. I'm done. Right? I mean, but here's the thing. Communications experts, they point out that when you talk to another person, there are actually six different messages that you could receive or that could be heard. All right. And the first one is what you mean to say. Don't we wish that was always the case? This is what I mean to say. You are understanding what I'm meaning to say. And the second message that's communicated is what you actually say. Man, how many of you have had so many times in your life where you've boogered up what you meant to say? That's not what I meant to say. I can't get the right words out. And the third message is what the other person hears. Right? Simple question. How do I look? Well, maybe you should change that. Are you saying that I'm fat? Right? I mean, how often have us men heard that from our wives? I mean, they could be drop-dead gorgeous, like my beautiful bride. But it may just not connect well with their body or their skin color or just the way you're feeling in that moment. It doesn't mean that you're saying that they're fat, right? And if you are meaning to say that they're a tad bit overweight, just say it, right? Well, that doesn't, you know, there's a way to say it. Okay, I'm going to stop because I'm going to get in trouble. Because now the men are going to go home. Guess what? The fourth message is what the other person thinks that they hear. How frustrating when someone overanalyzes what you say only to hear something totally different, right? Man, and the fifth message is what the other person says about what you said. That's not what I said. What filter did you have while I was talking that's what you got out of what I was saying? And the sixth message is what you think the other person said about what you said. Now you're really confused, right? I mean, you said what you said, then the other person misinterprets what you said, and then you misinterpret what you thought you said. And you just got it all mixed up. I mean, communication can be a beast, can it not? I mean, think about it. It's worth leaning into today, into a greater understanding of how we can communicate well. Who would say today that you are owning communication, that you communicate, you communicate with the best of them. You got it down, Pat. You could get up here and give us a 3-point lesson real quick. No, we're human. We are frail. We're weak, and we screw up all the time, especially with our words, right? And so I want to provide you today some life-changing communication principles. And the premier passage that we can find in Scripture on communication is Ephesians 4. In particular, the last 8 verses of the chapter. And so once you grasp these communication principles, you're going to be well on your way, and you're going to be able to communicate in every relationship to the best of your ability for the rest of your life. You're going to forget about this next week, right? Unless you choose today to sink your teeth into these and to see how they apply to all of your relationships. All right, so at first glance, they may seem very basic, and they probably are, and they're the sort of basic that we tend to overlook, right? We tend to overanalyze, right? We tend to make excuses for. They go against the fiber of our flesh, and they can only be fully acted on through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want us to see today as we jump into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. If you want to stand with me and read along with me, that would be fantastic. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May God bless the rest of our time. You may be seated. And that first principle that we see from Ephesians chapter 4 is one that we struggle with sometimes. Oh, we're not liars. We are not liars. We are followers of Jesus. We can't lie. You can just stretch the truth a little bit. And that is to be honest. It says in verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Honesty is the foundation of all communication. If I hear something that resonates with you, help me out today by saying, uh-huh, yep, amen, or just like Storage Wars, yep, whatever you need to do, all right, to connect with this message more. Because if you are not giving true information, true ideas, or true thoughts, there cannot be proper receiving by the listener. You can't. So we got to be careful in our conversation not to exaggerate, not to distort, not to deceive or conceal truth. How many of you have relationships today that don't know the true you pertaining to a situation in life or just overall you? We conceal truth because of pride, arrogance, ego, selfishness. But speaking truth, when we do that, it's going to get messy. Who agrees? When you've spoken truth, it's gotten a little messy because we're called to hard love, right? So telling other people maybe also what needs to be said in their life. Therefore, I say, stop managing other people's feelings. Don't worry about what you think they're going to think. You know, what happens if we use their feelings as a cop-out or an excuse to not share the truth with them, right? And it plays vice versa. It frees us, and it frees the other individual to be grown-ups and to have adult conversations, right? And so when spoken in love, truth may hurt. Truth may hurt, but we've got to be honest because it's for that person's best. You hearing me? Yeah, it's basic. We know all these things, but how often do we neglect these things, right? When you speak in the flesh, it's your chance to be right. When we speak in the spirit, it's about being real, not right. So how many of us in our conversation pieces, or our relationships rather, we'd rather just be right and be able to control? Are we willing to be real so that we can be honest? All right, communication has to always be truthful. Both you and the other person that you're involved with, and that whatever that relationship looks like, always has to be honest. Always be honest. Be honest. How many times I gotta say it? Say it with me. 3, 2, 1. Be honest. And the second principle is to be current. Be current. In verses 26 and 27, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And yes, I'm about to tell the same story I've told every time I talk about this verse. And do not give the devil a foothold. Because here's the thing, unresolved issues in any relationship is going to break down communication in the present situation. If you continue to let one sunset after another continue without dealing with whatever it is in your life with that relationship that you have not dealt with, that's not resolved, you're going to become bitter. You're going to become angry, and you're going to put more and more of a wedge between one another. Why? Because the past becomes the focus of that relationship, not the big picture that God has in store for the future of that relationship. And it's difficult to relate in the present while clinging to the past. I'm going to say that again. It's difficult to relate to one another, to come together in the present while you're clinging to the past. Anger is the emotional energy of displeasure given to solve a problem. And usually our relational anger is not the righteous anger of God against sin. Amen? It is the personal fire against having our rights violated. And so we feel justified in our anger, in our actions towards whoever that person might be. James 1:20 warns us of the futility of this kind of anger when he says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You see, when your anger is used for yourself and not surrendered to the Father, it's going to shut down communication between you and whomever that other person might be. So we labor quickly to get right and to stay right with others, or the devil is going to gain a foothold in your relationships. How many of you would say you've seen that time and time and time again? And so here's the thing. My wife and I've told you this before, but it fits really well, and I get the chance to brag on my marriage a little bit. So it's okay. I can do that. I'm up here. You're down there. Here's the thing. But it is something that I share in every counseling session that I have with couples, premarital or after marriage, any one of them. And that we agreed when we got married that we were not going to let a single night go by without sealing that day with a kiss. And that kiss represented that we were okay, 100% okay. And I can honestly tell you that that's probably the number one thing that has caused our marriage to be at its healthiest, to be at its strongest, and that near 18 years together now, married together, that we kiss every single night. And if I'm out of town, or she's out of town, FaceTime, or I send smoochies on text, or something like that, I've driven and surprised her just to kiss her goodnight. And so we put this above our bed. To be a constant reminder to always kiss me goodnight. That no matter how tired you are, no matter how much you do not want to deal with this right now, and no matter how you feel righteous in your anger right now, that we're going to deal with this. And what's happened in my relationship with my bride, because we continue to keep things current, is typically we get blown up over a stupid situation, right? And you go at it for 10, 15, 20 minutes in front of the kids. How dare us lead by example like that? And we just keep going at it. And then one of us does something stupid. We say something we regret. We walk away. And we get to that point sometimes. But I'm so thankful because we do this, that the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of one of our hearts. I'm not going to say who's first. And we come around the corner laughing, and we smile, and we know exactly what's happening in that moment. And we look at each other, we embrace, and we say, forgive me. No, forgive me. No, you got to forgive me first. And we seal that moment with a kiss as well, not to bring it up again. Not to bring it up again. Always be current. Always be current in all your relationships. The third principle is to be helpful. In verse 28, it says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. You've heard the old adage. I mean, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's true, isn't it? It's very true. It's very true. You see, compassion opens the channels of communication that would otherwise be closed by wary people who have been hurt in the past. Serve your spouse. Serve your kids. Serve that relationship. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. It's how can I outserve that other person? Not I'm justified. They should serve me. They should do this for me. And I have to be careful not to do what many of us do just out of habit. But that is to say, just let me know how I can be there for you. And I'll be there. How often do we text that, email that, or say that on the phone? That's just what we say because we want to communicate that we care about their situation. We have no clue what to do. So, hey, if I can be or do anything for you, let me know. I say it all the time. But what if they come back and say, well, I really need this right now? Are we willing to sacrifice whatever it might be to truly help someone else? And it might be that relationship that needs healing in your life. Because you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving other people. All right? But in the meantime, I'm praying for you. Pray right then. I've gotten in a habit where I said I prayed for you. And I make sure before I send it, I actually do that. Because all of our lives is crazy busy. If you have to say no to somebody, they're going to live. They're going to survive unless it's something crucial. Because what? Our emergency is the only emergency in the world when it's occurring, right? Am I right? It is. But do you wake up the next day? Do you move on to the next week? And that's got to teach us to not lean on people, but to lean on Jesus. Amen. All right? And so instead, actually, you know, understand the role of communication and relationships when it comes to being helpful. Don't hear me today saying, well, that means that every person I ask for help, they need to drop what they're doing right there. No. No. If they're able to, praise Jesus. You know? But that doesn't mean they don't care. That doesn't mean they don't love you. They just can't be there at the moment. They've got a commitment. They got this and that. So we got to be careful not to overanalyze what I'm saying. Are you catching the meaning of what I'm saying today? Oh, five of you. Great. Principle number four is to be a builder. Principle number four is to be a builder. Verses 29 through 31 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." That is to be a builder, not a destroyer with your words. Be a builder, be an encourager, not a discourager. What leads to corrupt communication is anything that we say in the flesh. Corrupt communication is anything that we say in the flesh. And what leads to constructive communication is a spirit-filled tongue. That we look at how we can build others up. And if we can't say anything nice at all, if we can't say anything nice, don't. There we go. We got it. That's right. What would you leave unsaid if you determined to only say what is true, necessary, and kind? Because I'm going to tell you this, your silence can't be repeated. Your silence can't be repeated. If you can't put a post that's building others up, don't post at all. If you just want to consume the Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram to build your ego to get more likes or comments or this or that, don't put it at all. Your silence can't be repeated. Principle number five is to be a forgiver. And this is where we're going to close on, because I think that it's pivotal to continue what we started in here earlier. Is because I think that people that may have been broken today over their relationships need to continue expanding on what needs to happen in that relationship by asking for forgiveness. Verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." There's no way around it, is there? There's absolutely no way around it. Any relationship that lasts for a significant length of time will encounter the need for forgiveness. I think I ask for forgiveness every day in my home. I do. I screw up all the time. It's humiliating sometimes, isn't it, to have to go to a six-year-old and say, "I'm the daddy here. And I'm not asking her for forgiveness. She can get over it. Stop crying." "No, I hurt her." "Oh." And then you grab her face and you say, "Forgive me, baby. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have talked to you like that. I should have listened to you." You know what I'm saying. They'll never forget that my mommy and my daddy were willing to ask for forgiveness. They led by example of what it looks like to lead that kind of lifestyle. You know, forgiveness is a choice of the will to reconcile with the offender by erasing what they did, thus experiencing true forgiveness. Of course, the basis of all Christian forgiveness is what? The finished work of Jesus Christ. That's where it's all at. And so God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. And he's given us the power to forgive others. So there's no one, no matter what's happened to you today. Now I'll listen to you till the cows come home. I'll listen to how hurt you are. And how there's no way you can forgive that individual that hurt you for 30 years. But because Christ forgave us, we can forgive them. Forgiveness is never easy, but without it, godly relationships are impossible. We're all sinners, and we're all sure to hurt one another. Amen. So forgiveness is the grace that provides restoration to both communication and communion. And as the band comes forward, that's where I want us to to continue to expand as we wrap up this service is that you would understand what forgiveness really means for your life. And I would like to ask you, have you experienced the forgiveness of Christ? Can you walk out of here today saying that I'm a child of God? Have you had a time in your life where you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Because to be able to give forgiveness, you have to first receive forgiveness from Jesus. To understand how to love other people properly, biblically, you have to first understand the love of Jesus in your own life. Make today the day that you come forward and grab my hand or someone's hand, one of our prayer partners, that says, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I want to live. I want to be a soldier in this army. Amen. Amen. So how are you doing, the rest of us, how are you doing in your communication? Gauged by this Ephesians 4 passage that we went through today. They may appear basic, but these are the best indicators of where you're at right now in your communication process with other people. What are you willing to pluck out of your life so that you can not only be a better communicator in that relationship, but that you may receive healing and restoration in that relationship? It may be a double dose for some of you to come forward. You came forward earlier and you're like, man, I forgot about that one. Aren't you thankful that as you come forward, that the Holy Spirit is open? It's not just a one and done. It's as however many times you need it. Father, we come to you this morning and we rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your forgiveness and we are thankful for how you move and how you work and how you stir. And I thank you for these very basic communication principles. They are life-changing though. I thank you for your word. I thank you for Ephesians 4. I thank you for just the truth that was communicated today. And I pray that you would help us to learn what it looks like to sink our teeth into these and to experience stronger and healthier relationships. So God, I pray a continued blessing over this time of worship, but also this time of offering. That God, that our offering, our giving, our generous giving would also be an element of worship. That as we give, we would do it cheerfully and full of joy. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your incredibly awesome name, amen.
and songs that we sing. It's a reflection of our ever-changing lives, the best we have to offer. We don't just lift up our hands, Lord, we lift up our lives, for we know that you are worthy of our praise. To you our life songs raise.